Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. Here, while you're turning there, Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Today, I just want to simply talk to you just for a few minutes. We're going to have some other folks come up and share what God's doing through their ministry as well. But this year, I want to share some more victories with you as you're turning there. In 2015, we saw 18 water baptisms. We saw 29 people give their lives to Christ. We saw 4 people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and 9 new members were added to New Freedom Church. So that are the victories for us just as our local church. But as the Assemblies of God is concerned, I just wanted to read a few things that are happening globally and nationally. It says there's some interesting new membership statistics from the Assemblies of God denomination, which has had 24 years of continuous growth, and it's expanding at a rate faster than the U.S. population. Current conventional wisdom insists U.S. Christianity is in full retreat. The facts are different. Once mainline Protestants have collapsed, some conservative denominations, after decades of robust growth, are now declining. Non-denominational Christianity is growing, and several conservative denominations are growing, including the Assemblies of God, which is a Pentecostal community with Wesleyan in its theology and emphasis on the gifts. The Assemblies of God also has the rare distinction of great racial diversity. Its Hispanic population percentage has gone up to 21%, and it's greater than the nation's. And its black membership is nearly 10%, almost equal to the national percentage. Its Asian membership, also over 4%, is also significant. 40% of the denomination is non-white. That is just completely amazing. God is using the Assemblies of God to do amazing things, not only in this country, not only in Green Bay, but worldwide. God is growing our efforts, growing this fellowship that we have in ways that are just unbelievable. And so it's not just about New Freedom Church or the 4 other Assembly of God churches that are in Green Bay, but we're talking national growth. God is doing amazing, tremendous things through the effort of the Assemblies of God and through the churches all around the country and around the world. So give God a hand clap of praise, amen, for what he's doing. There are today a total of 12,792 Assembly of God congregations in the U.S., a growth of 1,400 over the last few years. That is staggering growth. And we thank God so much that he is using the Assemblies of God, and he is using New Freedom Church. And I see it not only just nationally, but also personally. I've seen so much growth in so many people's lives in New Freedom Church, and I am so thankful for what God is doing. Amen. So with that, with those victories come struggles. You can't have victory without struggles, right? We know we're fighting a fixed fight, but we have to get in the fight. We can't sit on the sidelines. The struggle to stay on course, to be prepared and focused, dogs us all personally and as a church. It's hard to stay focused. Can I get an amen? It's hard to stay on task. Can I get an amen? Because we see obstacles and we think, well, I'm done, I guess. But God sees obstacles, and he tells us that if we have the faith as small as a grain of mustard seed to tell that mountain to be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. But our problem is that we live a lot of our lives by sight, not by faith. And it's important that we look at the obstacles in our life with faith and not just by what we see. Now, it's important to acknowledge that there's issues and there's struggles and that there's barriers, but we also have to, with the same weight, put our faith behind it as well. Because we can't think like the world thinks. We've got to say, even though that there's a mountain in my way, God said go, God said do, God said trust, so that's what we're going to do. And so, we're bombarded with what nowadays? Resolutions, right? Commercials about what? Staying fit, joining gyms, saving more, spending less, right? Praying more, reading our Bibles more, coming to church more often, doing this, doing that, and doing the other, and so forth. But how many of you guys know that we tend to break our New Year's resolutions? All right? If you broke your New Year's resolution before, raise your hand. Yep. If you broke your New Year's resolution right now, go ahead and raise your hand. It's okay. Shoot. All right. I've done it. Okay. But here's the facts. 92% of us make and break resolutions each and every year. 92%. But what if this year was your year to not make resolutions, but instead make a difference? Make a difference. Making a difference is hard, but it is possible. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, everything is possible to him who believes. Everything is possible to him who believes. So instead of this year making resolutions, instead of this year saying, well, I want to share my faith more, I want to pray more, I want to study more, or I want to lose weight, or I want to do this, or I want to do that, and this and that and the other, why don't you commit to being a difference maker this year? Committing to being out, sticking out of the crowd, and making a difference. The Bible says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. So it's not about your gifts. It's not about your talent. It's not about the money that you have. It's about the opportunity that you have. And we all know that if we are born again, God is going to put us in a path to make a difference in somebody's life. And the reason is, it's not because you're talented. It's not because you're well-spoken. It's because His Spirit lives in you. And that alone qualifies you to make a difference in somebody else's life. It's not about preaching the word. It's not about evangelizing. It's about you taking advantage of the opportunity that God places in your life. You see, just because I am your pastor doesn't mean that I do all the work for you. You are a minister of the gospel with your life and your attitude and your words. Each and every one of us are. And what you do with that life, what you do with your words, what you do with your talent and your treasure and those opportunities are only between you and God. But He will give you an opportunity if you allow Him to use your life. We see throughout all of Scripture that there are men of God, even women of God, that give all kinds of excuses why they can't serve, why they can't do, why they can't go. Moses said, I have stammering lips, Lord. There's no possible way. I can't do this. I stutter way too much. It takes me 5 minutes to get through one sentence. I can't do it. So many times, there's all kinds of different. For me, my thing was, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I've got a plan for my life, and psychology is what I'm going to do. And so I had an excuse. Each and every one of us have excuses, and it's at this time in 2016 that we need to throw away our excuses and start making a difference in our world. Amen. I'm not talking about feeding the thousands. I'm talking about being kind to your neighbor. I'm not talking about preaching to millions. I'm talking about ministering to your family. Having a good attitude. Being positive for once in your life. Using what God has given you in order that you can reach people for the gospel. I heard a man say this one time. He said, I minister all the time. And when I have to, I use words. See, it's about using your life. It's about using the attitude of your life. At your work, at home, with your children, you know your first ministry is to your family. It took a long time for my family to see the fruit of what Christ has done in my life. It just takes time. And then outside of that, then we begin to look at our community. We begin to look at the hurting around us. And we ask God to give us a heart for the lost. Give a heart for the needy, for those that are hurting, for those that are destitute, for those that need Jesus. Because I'm going to be honest with you, we can't love enough. We can't care. And there's not enough care in us. That's why it's so important that we be the hands and feet of Christ. That we ask the Lord, Lord, give me your heart for the lost. Give me your heart for the broken. And the Word says He's going to do it. He's going to give that to us. But we can't do this by ourselves. I've found that there are two major obstacles for people who want to make a difference. Number one, knowing when and how to start. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get there. I don't know where to start. The first place that you start is on your knees. The first place you start is in prayer. The second place you start is by acknowledging once God has spoken that thing to you, to acknowledge it and say, okay, Lord, I will be obedient. The third thing you do is come and tell me, Pastor, this is what God's speaking to my heart. What do you think about this? Man, I'm your biggest cheerleader. You come to me and say, God's speaking to me about doing something for the community, I'm right there with you. I'm on board with it. Let's do it. Let's get this thing done. It could be as simple as hanging door hangers on people's doors, inviting them to church. Do you know I got a phone call from one of the residents from that outreach that we did? They called and they said, hey, I got this door hanger and want to know about your church. Want to know about, you know, what you believe and so forth. Had a great conversation. You see, those phone calls won't come unless we do. Amen? It's important that we do those things. It's important that we reach out to the hurting. It's important that we reach the lost. And you say, man, that's a huge thing. We're a small church. You know what? We have a big God. And He can do all things. Amen? So the first barrier, first obstacle for people who want to be a difference maker is knowing when and how to start. Number two, time. Now, time is a big deal. Because as Americans, we like to waste time. We do. We love that. But it's important that we, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have enough time. But you know what? We make time for those things that are important to us, don't we? And we provide the resources for what we deem important to us as well. If that means working overtime or working a side job or whatever it is, we do it to get it done so that we can enjoy our time. Right? But it's important that we understand that your life isn't just your own. It is the Lord's. And He will give us what it is that He wants us to do if we will listen. If we will obey Him. It's important that we be good stewards of our time so that the gospel can be advanced. Now, ineffective attempts at making a difference is a real problem as well. It can cripple our ability to effect real change. It'll derail our mission God has called us to and offers nothing to help the survival of the gospel in the world. So, in other words, we can't be half-hearted about our decision to have our life be in the hands of the Lord at His service. It can also leave you feeling tired, frustrated, afraid, and worse, ready to give up and quit. But it doesn't really have to be that way, church. That's why this year, I'll be spending the first months of this year teaching on evangelism. teaching how to use what you got. Not what you don't have, not what you wish you had, but what you do have. God can use what you do have in extraordinary ways, even if you're poor. Even if you feel like you have no talent whatsoever, ever. Even if you feel like that your life is nothing extraordinary and it's plain and even subpar, God can use your life if you say, I'm willing to be used. So this whole month of January into February, we're going to be talking about evangelism. We're going to be talking about what your responsibility is for the kingdom of God and here at New Freedom Church. Also, another area we're going to be focusing in on this year is church planting. The board and I believe that it is time to put our money where our mouth is. This year, we will be giving $100 a month to church planting. And we are asking for your help. Each one of you, when you came in the door, received your annual giving pledge for missions. And I had Sarah add that at the bottom for church planting. And I want to encourage each and every one of you to take this home with you, pray about it, and ask God, Lord, what is it you want to give, you want me to give this year for missions? Or what is it this year, Lord, do you want me to give to church planting on top of that? And whatever it is, be obedient and watch the Lord come through for you. You know, it's time that we stop doing things that we can do ourselves and start believing for God to do things we can't do ourselves. Amen? If we could do it ourselves, we don't need God, right? So it's important that we live this thing out by faith. And so we are going to allocate $100 a month to church planting. And then we're going to start seeding into church planting. And before long, we're going to have a church planter and his wife and his family up on this stage. And we're going to be blessing them, praying over them, and sending them out to plant other churches. Are you excited about that, church? I am excited about that. It's time we stop thinking about just about New Freedom Church's needs and start thinking bigger. Amen? Because if we don't, then trust me, we don't need God, right? If you just think about it for a minute. We could have church on our own talent, right? We have a talented worship team. We've got a talented youth pastor, kids pastor. You know, we could live off of talent. But why do that? I want to live by faith, church. I want to live by faith. And the only way to do that is saying, Lord, what is it you want from us that we cannot do for our that we can't do out of our own means? And that we have to trust you by faith to do. And I'm telling you, church, this is it. I am sold out 100%, and the board is too, that church planting is what we're going to be about. And we're starting to put our money where our mouth is this year. Starting this year in January, we're going to start allocating that money toward those things. I'm excited about what 2016 is going to bring for us as a church. I see God doing so many wonderful things, and I'm excited about his hand upon our life, upon the vision of this church,